far as the academic impact goes, enrollment, we talked about how large the enrollment is at the university now. And, you know, there's also been allusion to the fact that when the football team was ranked number one a few years ago, the next year we saw a huge boom in,
applications
and enrollment. And there's some, if I understand, some research that shows there is some sort of tie to the amount of time you're on TV in a place and the students you draw. Now, is there a concern that when we leave the Big 12 and we maybe leave, I mean, we draw a lot of students from Texas, general enrollment students from Texas and some of the other Big 12 universities. Is there a concern in shifting to this new demographic, if you will?
Not really. It's been, we have discussed it, but a concern, no. We see it really as more on the positive side. Data will show that higher athletic visibility attracts more applicants, not necessarily more enrollees. We, however, have more applicants and enrollees, and we're right at the margin in terms of, you know, being able to manage this process, and we're watching it very, very carefully. We have, record enrollment growth during the bad years athletically as much as we did during the good years, just to be fair, let me say. That's worth pointing out, even though the applications did go up with the athletic success. The point is, the brand of Missouri has been increasing now for the last decade. We've had record enrollments, I believe, essentially every year of the last decade, and in good and bad years, and it will continue. We do not see we will continue to recruit in Texas because we're in the Southeastern Conference with another Texas institution, Texas A&M. will continue to attract out-of-state students from Chicago, Minneapolis, as well as Texas. Those are three big feeders, Illinois generally, you know, not Big 12 regions, really. We really don't expect that to be affected in any negative way at all. Possibly there might be a little bit of a diminution in the Dallas area, if we project, conjecture. But the potential of expanded enrollment from the southeastern region is quite high. Because now you've got a school in the conference that will be getting a lot of attention. And you, therefore, what happens with athletic success is students look at that institution. And as they do that, they'll find the kind of quality institution that they will find very attractive. So we have actually more alums in the Southeastern Conference than we do in the Big 12. So we expect our alumni base to help us all across the Southeastern region and more students looking our way. We reasonably project an increase in applications.
And then run up to this, at the AAU, in fact, we were an AAU school, and the possible loss of research opportunities was something that was talked about a lot. What opportunities do you see in the SEC? And I know, like, for instance, in the Big 12, they had specific grant money for, cooperations between schools. Is there anything like that in the SEC, or what opportunities do you see?
There are, and let me say, there is no loss of research opportunities associated with this conference move at all. For the most part, our scholarship and research continues unabated. I mean, our faculty work with colleagues all over the world, and, in the Ivy League, in the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 conferences. I mean, scholarship and research does not align with conferences. Many conferences, though, and the Big Ten probably led the way on this with their CIC organization that across the Big Ten includes the University of Chicago, that doesn't compete athletically, but they have strong scholarly endeavors. The Southeastern Conference has tried to do that themselves very strongly, and that their center, academic center, in fact, is located, last I heard, at the University of Arkansas. So they do provide these kinds of collegial opportunities to exchange faculty, to work together and try to promote some regional research interest. The Big 12 did that also. And when I was provost here, in fact, I led a delegation of provosts of the Big 12, for example, in meetings with the European Union leadership. And that's led to some continuing interest and activity. So we've tried it. We will continue to promote that no matter where we are. And as you stretch and look at a new conference and new opportunities, it's likely you'll get a bit of additional stimulus for aspects of research and scholarship. I was thinking earlier today, and I was talking to someone about the Oak Ridge National Laboratory near Knoxville, Tennessee. That's a huge nuclear reactor, and our faculty often we have a huge research reactor on this campus, the largest of any university in the nation. But the Oak Ridge National Labs, of course, the Manhattan Project was centered there. It's huge, and it's not a research. It does do research, but it's really a power reactor also. It has huge research capacity, though. And so as our faculty travel there, it's likely that someone will say, hey, let's run up to Oak Ridge and get a look at that reactor. And out of that, as you talk to each other, you sometimes can develop new research activity. The geographic differences in the Southeast and the seascape and the different mix of research programs hopefully will prove stimulating to some of our faculty as well. And that, in addition, you lose nothing. You've given up nothing in terms of scholarship and collaborative research with other institutions you're working with, whether it's the Big 12 or elsewhere. But you gain then that additional stimuli from new friends and colleagues that you may make.
Kind of a step back question, but as the leader of an academic institution, I don't even want to know how many hours you were spending per week on athletics. Is that something you expected coming into this role? And you know, what's it like to know that 100 years from now, one of the first things on that list of things you did might be oversaw a move to SEC? You know, I mean, how does that fit into the strange job?
Coming into the position, you really don't know all that will occupy your time. And so in that sense, the intensity of this certainly could not have been anticipated exactly. And yet, it's part of the job. There are other factors that we deal with that sometimes take just as much time that, in a sense, receive no public attention as is appropriate. But nevertheless, I'm having to do a lot here. But that's taking nothing away from your observation that this was a particularly intensive time for all of us. I mean, Mike and I in constant communications, and then in communications with everyone, depending on the nature of it, either with all my colleagues in the Big 12 through a period, and then to the SEC with the board chair and commissioner there later on, but that was very late in the process. The most intense activity, of course, had to do with communication with my colleagues in the Big 12 as that was going along. That was just, unbelievable, really, for all of us. So, it is very intense. It's something that, though one does in these roles, you do what you need to do to move the institution forward in all of its components, and that includes athletics, student affairs, research, extension, the various little programs we have in the university, international programs. All those things are going on all the time, and you have crises of one sort or another from time to time. And I, just as a slight amount of interest and irony here, as I'm getting ready to go over to announce the SEC with Mike Slive and Mike and everyone, the last thing I dealt with was a crisis in Korea, and with one of our faculty members traveling in China, and they're trying to get in touch with him and say, you cannot come in because it's dangerous for your life. And so there, we're dealing with that, and we're calling, we're having messages go to presidents, two different universities, three different universities in Shanghai, because we knew he was speaking at one of those. So, that you're constantly in the role we play as the leader of the university. You're dealing with a range of issues all the time. And even as you're doing the one that was so focused, you had to actually do several other things that were very important at the moment. And so I found that a bit ironic, actually, as we talked about it. I said, can you believe this? Here we are going off to this, and you got to deal with Shanghai and Shanghai Normal and Fudan Universities in Shanghai, because Andy Williamson was giving a speech at one of those places, and we had to make sure the message got to him not to go the next leg of his trip to Korea. And it all worked, in fact.